At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wrestling Inc. recap of Money in the Bank 2024. I'm here with my favorite Double J, John Jordan. Is your favorite Double J, John, yourself, or is it Jeff Jarrett? Or is it another Double J that I don't know about?
It's got to be me. You know, let's be honest. I mean, you're supposed to be humble, right? But I've worn it on this show before. I have a Double J shirt. But I wish it said John Jordan on the back. And speaking of, I put the hot rod on to, you know, I'm only on here every once in a while, filling in, being the third guy, usually sometimes whatever happens. But I realized when I tried to participate in the whiteout tonight, I really only had two options. I had hot rod and I had Double J. I'm not a white shirt guy because I spill stuff all over myself all the time. And at least you and I participated, right?
Whatever. Yeah, it looks like maybe like, what, let's say 40% of Toronto participated. I'm a little disappointed. That's kind of reminiscent of what a U.S. crowd would do. I'm a little disappointed in the Canadian crowd, to be honest with you.
You know, they should have given them more than a day's heads up, though. I think that only came out like the day before, right? So who can blame them?
And who's to say, like, there might have been some people that have maybe traveled. I don't know how big current Canada is. Maybe travel from outside of Toronto to come in for the Money in the Bank. And you know, maybe they didn't have time to go. Do they have like a? Is there a Walmart in Canada? I know they still got Toys R Us in Canada, which is on my bucket list. I'm really hoping that whenever I do make the trek out to Toronto at some point in my life, maybe when I go visit like a Blue Jays game or something, I want to go to a Toys R Us because, man, those are sincerely missed out here in the U.S.
I grew up as a Toys R Us kid, my friend, and so I know what you mean. I wanted to always get lucky and be in the Toys R Us toy run, where I was always disappointed when I watched people do it because they weren't just wiping everything. They were being like, you know, meticulous. No, you gotta take it all, man. It never happened for me. So I agree with you.
Speaking of which, there was like a tweet that Indy Hartwell put up. She put up a tweet, her at a Toys R Us. I guess she said something to the extent of she used to be a Toys R Us employee. So now she's, and I guess in Australia, they got Toys R Us's. I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, one day we're going to, me and my child will make a trek out to Toys R Us. And I know he was at least able to go there, but he was like 3 or 4. So it's not really the same. But yeah, it's mostly for me, to be honest with you.
Well, no, I mean, now we have something in common. You, me, your boy, Indy Hartwell. I never worked for Toys R Us, but I've been to a Toys R Us. And when I worked in the advertising business, they were a client of mine for a short period of time. I had nothing to do with their downfall at the time. And I'm glad to hear that they're still up and running in certain places.
I used to work at a KB Toys, so I don't know if that counts for anything, but
I remember those too.
But you know what? We are here to talk about Money in the Bank. We can have a whole nother podcast about toys, action figures, dolls, whatever you want to call them. Either way, they're all awesome. But yes, Money in the Bank literally just ended like 15 minutes ago. We were literally supposed to go on like at 7:20. We were like, I think we should push it like 10 minutes. So here we are. It literally like the press conference is just happening right now. I'm not watching it right now. I'm sure Cena's on there. He said he was going to do something. We saw a little bit of Drew McIntyre kind of infiltrate the post show. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but just overall thoughts before I get into my trivia question. What were your overall thoughts just as soon as the show ended? What was your first thought when it came to how the show was?
Because of how it ended, and I won't spoil anything because we'll get there, My overall thoughts were a lot that had to be done got done tonight. Or as the old adage goes, a lot of good business was done tonight, I thought. Enjoyable show. I didn't have too many qualms or any nitpicks. I thought it was a good show, and a lot of good work got done, and, you know, progress some storylines, which is what this is all about, you know?
Yeah, there was a lot of good, especially with the World Heavyweight Championship match. There were so many different scenarios that could have played out, and I'm perfectly fine with everything that happened. And, you know, not to say that we're not going to spoil it, but I just kind of want to talk about it more when it happens. Because I'm sure, I'm really curious if anybody's watching us right now. By the way, thank you to everybody in the chat. If you're watching us without watching Money in the Bank, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you know, I'm going to skip the show, but you know what? I'm going to tune into these two young, good looking guys so I can know what's going to happen on. And if that's the case, dude, kudos to you guys. Cause you guys are what make us keep going every single day. But with that said, I had a trivia question yesterday on the SmackDown post show. I do want to add a little, have a trivia question today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No, I said, are you ready? See what I did there?
And for the hundreds in attendance, and you're going to keep going with this or what?
No, I'm not. So my question, you know, Money in the Bank related, let's keep it, you know, with the theme there. What show, and I'll give you guys a little hint, what show has the Money in the Bank briefcase been successfully cashed in on the most? Now, by shows, I mean Raw, SmackDown, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Rumble, you know, Great Balls of Fire, Battleground, whatever show. Those are all shows, events, whatever it is. Which show? And I'll give you a hint. It's a first place tie for two. So there's two answers. Which show has been it cashed in on and successfully the most?
Now let's give the people one more hint, and then I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. It is not this Tuesday in Texas, and the question I have is: do they have to get both right, or
no? Even if you get one right, you still get the prize of the air high five. But if you get them both right, you get the air high 10.
Ooh, all right. Well, I'm thinking along with everybody in the chat. I hope I get this right. I'm going to be thinking while I'm talking, while I'm thinking, while I'm looking at my notes and doing all the things. So, and I'm also, I've still got closed captions on John Cena's press conference, but I don't think I can relay any of that for you guys, honestly. So unless he gets attacked, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'll probably be tuning in as soon as we're done here. But my first question for you, John, is yesterday at the kickoff show, you had Triple H come out there. You know, it seems like they're doing a lot of these kickoff shows the day before. They did it in France, Scotland, you know, Australia. I love them. I think they're a great way to set the tone for the weekend. And Triple H pretty much told the Toronto Crown and said, hey, man, France pretty much set the bar. Scotland, they did a good job, but I think you guys can do even better. Do you think Toronto rose up to the occasion for Money in the Bank?
I think Toronto was great, but no, I don't think they take the title. Here's the thing. I spent some time in Canada. I love Canada. I wished Jimmy a happy belated Canada Day yesterday, as you may recall. They're very polite there. They're not their most rambunctious traditionally. So no, they were a fantastic crowd. They were up when they should have been up. They were, you know, a little bit mild when maybe things needed to, you know, the performers needed to see that things were getting a little too mild, maybe and spice it up a little bit. They were great. But I think it's those European crowds. And we've talked about this before where they just don't get the treat of a WWE, let alone live event, let alone a pay-per-view or PLE. Often, so it's always a special occasion, so they're always going to be fired up. Again, I Toronto, no disrespect, Toronto, you're great, just not the champions of the world just yet.
They haven't been in Vancouver in a while, but I do remember the last time they were in Vancouver. Even when AEW is in Vancouver, those crowds are always pretty good, but yeah, I gotta agree. I think France is up there. Puerto Rico is up there too from last year. But if I'm going to, it feels like the battle for second or third is on, and I'm going to have to go with Scotland. I think Scotland kind of beat out Toronto for this one, which is kind of disappointing because Canada has always been, as they always called it, JR and the King, you know, wacko country or whatever they called it, where, you know, kind of everything kind of goes against the grain up in Canada. But yeah, I mean, they were pretty good. I thought it'd be a little bit more, yeeting involved, I guess you can say. But I do like the addition of the towels. Sure. I'm a big fan of that visual, especially when you see like a sports, like a basketball where you had like the Warriors and they all had the yellow towel. So I want to say that's a cool addition. I hope they do a little bit more. So yeah, we'll see how that goes as far as maybe cool little giveaway, cool little take home that they did for today.
Yeah, drape one over the chair when they're there. You're going to use them. It's like at the hockey games, they sometimes give you these you know, inflatable clapping things, which drive me crazy as a traditionalist. But hey, let's make it wild. Let's do whatever we got to do to get this crowd fired up.
Yeah, well, a good way to fire it up, too, because the show started off with the men's Money in the Bank match. And, you know, again, what a better way to start the show with good old main event Jey Uso. It seems like it's this thing kind of coming out of the crowd, which I think is a great way to really start the show, to pump up the show. It feels like anytime anybody comes out of the crowd, that's always something cool. We saw it with the Shield back in the day, and it added so much more to their presentation. But now we're seeing Jey Uso do it. And yeah, great way to start the show. I'm not going to go too much into play-by-play because, you know, we all saw the show for the most part, but I do kind of want to get some takeaways. What was there anything that stood out from you from the match itself, as far as like maybe a high spot or a highlight from the match?
You know, not really, to be honest with you. I mean, Carmelo Hayes was all over the place, bumping like crazy and making me concerned a few times. I thought he had a great main roster outside of the Royal Rumble PLE debut. But all in all, like I kind of said in the lead-in, like I thought that this whole entire card and that match in particular got some work done. Obviously, this Money in the Bank match led to events later in the night, which we'll get to. But I also think that one thing that stuck out to me was some things that we didn't see. I think there were a few perhaps expected run-ins or instances of interference that we didn't get, particularly the Wyatt Six with Chad Gable. I think a lot of people were expecting that. But again, that shouldn't be a disappointment because this is one of those situations where maybe people convinced themselves that something was going to happen and they didn't have any promise. Therefore, you know, LA Knight, perhaps people were thinking about
Logan Paul,
and a few other things there as well. But overall, you know, can't complain. Got the job done. It was all centered around Drew, which now it all makes sense. And I also thought that, you know, Jey Uso, despite not getting the win, he shined as well throughout the match. So plenty of showcase on him, and that's a good thing.
The one guy that I think shined a lot is Chad Gable. You know, when he's in there, he's just on a tear. And it feels like people are really, really digging this heel run of Chad Gable to the point where they're kind of incorporating the "you suck" chants, whether it's in the entrance or even during the match itself. That's one thing that we didn't really see people do for Kurt Angle. People usually only chanted "you suck" during the song because it, you know, went along with the, you know, with the song, the dun dun. But Chad Gable, they're doing that even though there's no real rhythm to it. They're just kind of chanting "you suck," but they're also chanting it during the match, which I think is a testament to how good Chad Gable's been doing on Raw.
He's getting the reaction, right? He's doing the work. And not only are they chanting "you suck," but they're customizing it a little bit, saying he does something cool and they say "you still suck."
Yeah,
which was hey, hats off to Toronto for that one. I don't want to be critical in any way and then not give you praise as well. I think that might have come on the spot where he suplexed the actual ladder itself onto someone, which I might be wrong there, but either way, that was a cool spot to
mention. That was so pretty unique. Yeah, that was very unique, something I've never seen before. Like you said, people were kind of getting themselves worked up, like, oh, is so-and-so going to show up? You know, it was Logan Paul. I saw a lot of people on Twitter thinking that AJ Lee was going to show up and, you know, push the ladder down, much like she did like when she did on John Cena back at, I want to say it's TLC 2012. And I was like, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think she's going to come back for that. I do think she's going to have at least one more match in her, but I think that's going to be more for like maybe like NXT. I'd love to see her and Roxanne mix it up at some point. But yeah, Drew McIntyre wins, as you said. The right finish, I think a lot of people predicted it. I want to say, I don't know, I don't even know if Vegas odds is a thing for pro wrestling. I know it is, but... How legit can it be?
It is, but I'm staying away from it. Yeah, hey, George, real quick, I'm noticing Corey Pride in the chat. I totally agree with match didn't need the Wyatt Six or Logan Paul. I'm not saying that it did by any means. It got the job done. I'm just saying that I think a lot of people talked about those types of things happening. It absolutely it did what it needed to do. It executed what it needed to execute. And also, I don't know how I forgot. I thought Andrade was great in this match with little fanfare. Didn't get a big pop when he came out. Still a lot of work to be done, probably on the mid-level in WWE for, you know, the foreseeable future, but that's okay. I enjoy his work, and I thought he was really, really good in this match.
I will say, and I like that you mentioned the whole Andrade thing, and yeah, little found fanfare, but at the same time, they just like popped huge for Jey Uso. So if I was in the crowd, I'm like, oh man, I just went crazy for Jey Uso. Let me catch my breath a little bit. You know, I don't think I'm ready for Andrade to come out, even if I, you know, even if he was my favorite wrestler, you know. I mean, that just goes to show like everything's kind of done for a specific reason, and they kind of know maybe Andrade's not there just yet, so put him right after Jey Uso, because we all know that that's going to bring the energy. With that said, Drew McIntyre wins, as we all mentioned. I think a lot of people had maybe Jey Uso winning, as we mentioned yesterday on the SmackDown After Show, as I mentioned. I think he's going to be a little busy with this bloodline thing that's going to go on. Granted, he's on Raw, so I don't know how they're going to put that into it, but I do think Jey Uso... let me ask you something, because I think about this all the time. Is Jey Uso a future world champion?
I want to say yes, but I'm not convinced. I do think, you know, he said it last night. Every day is blurring together. I don't usually get to do these back to back, let alone 3 days in a row.
By the way, we'll see you in 24 hours for NXT Heatwave after show.
That's right. We're going to talk about that again later. Don't forget, people. But last night on SmackDown, Jey Uso in a backstage interview mentioned going for his first singles title. He wouldn't be mentioning it if at least wasn't in the realm of possibility. I could see him being a singles champion for sure. Deserved. I don't know if he's there yet for world title in the world title picture. Again, not that I don't want to see that happen. Yeah. I love the guy. But you know, there's other business to be done still too. Like you said, there's going to be some more bloodline stuff at some point. They're going to need him for that. So it's the long game, and I think he's willing to play it.
It's crazy too, because like we always like to see, or we always see just people with shirts in the crowd. Half the crowd seems like they're wearing a Yeet shirt.
Yeet shirt, Yeet glasses. Yeah. The light on the phone is going. I got my kid next to me who's doing it in the living room. Which I'm like, I don't know about that, but hey, to each their own.
I do it with my child. If Michael Cole's doing it, then I got to do it too.
I got to get better at that. You're right. He's actually probably listening to this in the other room right now. So I'll make a promise to him later.
Yeah. But yeah, Drew wins. Spoiler alert, it's not the last time we're going to see him at Money in the Bank pay-per-view or PLE.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
But the next match was the Intercontinental Championship match with Sami Zayn and Bron Breakker. New music for Bron Breakker, finally! Because I'm a big theme music guy, and that last theme song of Bron Breakker was just there's a word that I want to say, but I don't want to say it. It just
probably not allowed to.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. But yeah, new music for Bron, same old music for Sammy. Either way, I love them both. Love this new presentation of Bron Breakker. Are you surprised at the outcome, by the way?
I was. This was my biggest surprise of the night, actually.
And with that said, Were you upset about it? Because I saw a lot of people on Twitter. I really try to not incorporate people's opinions on Twitters because Twitter is not a real place. But it just sometimes I just can't help it because it just shows up there. And I did see a lot of like, what are they doing? They're burying Braun. They're, you know, he's supposed to be undefeated for a long time. Let me ask you something real quick before we go back to it. Whatever happened to that guy that Ultimate Warrior beat at WrestleMania 12? The guy hit his finisher on Warrior. Warrior, like, pretty much no-sold it, and Warrior beat him, like, a minute later. You remember whatever happened to that guy?
No, that sounds a lot like Honky Tonk Man when he got his IC title. I don't know exactly.
I was going to say, WrestleMania 12, he beat Triple H.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
Yeah. And
that was a literally like 38-second match, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was like, I'm sure if Twitter was around, what are they doing? They're just burying Triple H. I think he turned out pretty okay. So people are putting way too much energy into things like that. There is no shame in losing to Sami Zayn, let alone the guy that beat Gunther at WrestleMania after a 666-day reign. And the guy's like a 20-year veteran. It was in a championship, WWE championship match just about a year and a half ago. There's no, you're not going to lose any steam by losing to Sami Zayn. Jesus right. Christ.
Right, exactly. You asked if I was upset. No, I wasn't upset.
Yeah, like there's nothing to be upset about.
I generally don't get upset at what happens during a wrestling show. Like I got a kid that's got a hockey game at 6:30 in the morning tomorrow. So that's more higher on my priority list. But it did surprise me. For anybody that's saying that Bron Breakker wasn't supposed to be losing this early, says who? It's not your call. And also, it's not like he lost to me or anything like that. I wouldn't have a shot or a prayer in any way, shape, or form. But Sammy's a made guy, you know. Yeah. And again, the equity that he got, which by the way, he didn't even need, but the extra equity that he got in being the guy to dethrone Gunther tells you everything you need to know about. Where does Bron Breakker go from here? Wherever he wants, probably murdering people for the next, a couple months or whatever, till he has a big, probably a big showcase match at SummerSlam. Maybe it's again for the Intercontinental title. Maybe it's for something more. But we don't have anything to worry about there as far as Bron Breakker goes.
And sometimes it's because he hasn't lost on the main roster or on Raw since coming up. Sometimes, in my opinion, the best thing to do is to not be undefeated. You look at Jade Cargill, like she lost that match by DQ not too long ago. And then she lost that match in a triple threat match, even though she didn't get pinned. But like, I feel like there's too much emphasis on like, oh, they're undefeated. And when are they going to lose? It's going to mean something. No, like that takes away so much pressure, I guess you can say, to kind of keep these guys undefeated. You look at what happened to Goldberg to the point where, and maybe he's the anomaly. I'm not going to sit there and say that he shouldn't have been undefeated. But to the point where like there was really no right time apparently to for Goldberg to lose. Personally, I was fine with Kevin Nash beating him at Starrcade, but then the narrative is like, oh, he shouldn't have lost. He shouldn't have lost. Like, no, man, like sometimes you just got to take a loss and then just move forward. Not have that pressure.
Yeah, get it out of the way. Yes, it's professional wrestling. We know that the difference between that and traditional sports and such, but sometimes there's a lot to be said for you either win or you learn, and you can incorporate that into storylines too. One might argue that Bron Breakker's aggression actually worked against him a little bit in this match tonight. So maybe there's something to be said there. Maybe, there's a guy named Baron Corbin floating around on the main roster now too, with not a whole lot to do so far again. I don't know. Maybe it's the wrong show. I'm not sure how that works anymore, but they've got a history. Maybe there's a little advice still left to be given or whatever the case may be, but you can pivot and he'll be just fine. Like I said, and for Sammy, the beat goes on. He's not an underdog anymore, man. He's a made guy. Like I said, he needs to be taken seriously, and this will, build that quite a bit from his performance tonight.
So I got to ask, what's next for Sammy? Who's next for Sammy?
That's a good question. I see Arthur Castellero in the chat asked the same question. As far as SummerSlam goes, to me, I don't know. They had a package talking about the history of the Intercontinental title and Gunther's reign and Sammy winning it from him. And he mentioned Chad Gable again by name. I think a lot of people still thought Chad Gable had the IC title in his sights at some point down the road. But how he gets back there, I'm not sure, especially now with some of the trouble he's run into backstage and whatnot. So we'll see. I'm not sure.
It did seem like for a little bit, maybe they're going to have like Ludwig Kaiser come in, because they were, it seemed like they were doing like something with Ludwig, Braun, and Sheamus. But I know Ludwig is hurt. I don't know for how long, but I'm going to go with Sheamus. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Sheamus. There's been this kind of 2-3 year arc with him and winning the Intercontinental Championship. It's really the only title that he hasn't won. We saw that amazing match of the year 2 years ago with him and Gunther at the first Clash of the Castle. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's still trying to go for that, like Goodfellas said, to get that Grand Slam. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him versus Sammy at SummerSlam in Cleveland.
I'd be perfectly fine with that, whether he gets it or not. You know, the story is in challenging for the Grand Slam, completing the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. Whether he gets it or not, he can still have it on his checklist, on his bucket list, his professional bucket list, or, you know, then maybe he gets it. Maybe Sammy was onto something else, but there's plenty of options. And both of those that you just mentioned would be great.
I do have one more question before we go into the next part of the show. Are you a fan of these long title reigns? Because it seems like we're seeing it a lot more in this Triple H era. Gone are the days where we're seeing 18 championship switches in like 2 months. I mean, back in 99, I want to say there was maybe like 30 Intercontinental Championship title switches, which is a lot. And we've only really seen one in the last 2 years. So do you like this kind of style of like maybe just long reigns? Or do you kind of like, no, I'm not saying if you don't like the long reigns, that must mean you like the short reigns. I'm just saying, like, do you enjoy like the 6 to 9 month, maybe even a year title reigns?
I'm okay with it, because to get a championship, no matter what the title itself is, should take a lot. And then therefore it should mean everything you have to keep it. I'm also an old school guy. So while I'm fine with the longer championship reigns, I also understand that this is a little bit of a shift for a lot of people that maybe only picked up wrestling however long ago, type of thing. They're used to something else, whether this is better or it isn't, they're not even sure yet. Right. I'm okay with it. I think, you know, the title doesn't, you know, the title doesn't make the person makes the title, debate goes on and on and on, type of thing. But, the longer the reign goes, you know, the more that gets built up, and the harder it should be to get. And then, but here's the thing. If you have a handful of these long title reigns, which we've had of late, then when you get one that only lasts for a week or something like that, it's a huge surprise, and everybody goes crazy for it. Right. So, you know, it's a 50-50 type of thing, I think. And it's just it's an adjustment period we're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I think it helps when they have those. I mean, I think it helps when they have those little video packages too. I think they go such a long way, just kind of reiterate the history and how great that championship reign is. So, with that
and
said,
they're so good. They're so good. I mean, every time they come on, you know, they did the Money in the Bank by the numbers this time. I'm not sure if they've done that before. They've always done it from Rumble. I love stuff like that. Yeah. You know, the stats the research that goes into the stats and the presentation of it is so cool. And people break that down, and you know, stats can be interpreted any way you want, but you get to see people from yesteryear, you get to see current superstars, and break it down in every different direction. So I love stuff like that, the history.
Yeah, especially because when I started watching wrestling, they didn't really have that. It was just, you know, hey, you know, like I relied on, I remember watching the Power Driver, this one right here, the Power Driver, like the VHS. And like the opening part of it, they'd have like little clips, or even like during the music videos, they'd have little clips of like past matches. And that was the extent of what I saw. Like, oh man, I didn't know Andre the Giant was a good guy back in the day. Yeah. So knowing what we have now, it's, I definitely don't take it for granted. A lot of people like to say like, oh, there's too much wrestling on TV. There's this, like, there's wrestling on every day, man. If I was a kid, I'd love it. I'd be in heaven. And knowing that I essentially have practically the entire WWE library and WCW and ECW in the literal palm of my hands. I love that aspect of just where we are now, something that did not exist 30, 40 years ago. Everyone out there, just know that you're very, very spoiled, and don't take it for granted.
When you threw out the trivia question last night, you encouraged everybody to go, you know, dig into Peacock and see if they could figure it out. I was like, wait a second. No, hang out with us. Don't do that right now.
I mean, they can do both. Like, I can literally put on Peacock on my phone right now, and then, you know, still enjoy, you know, some good old fashioned conversation about wrestling. We saw Trish Stratus come out, who was the host of Money in the Bank, by the way, 47 years old. my, I don't even look good at the age that I'm at now. So kudos to Trish Stratus. Apparently yoga, Stratus Faction Yoga, whatever she called it. I got to get on that. Because, yeah, she looks, to quote Lay Cool, she looked flawless. You want AJ Styles, I want Lay Cool.
Absolutely. She
brought out the man himself, John Cena. We kind of, I don't know if you just kind of noticed it in general, but I noticed when his shirt said, you know, you can't see me, you know, and then like a door after behind, I'm like, uh-oh, like, is he doing what I think he's doing? And he did do what I thought he was going to do, but just not yet. I started making some notes in terms of what was going to happen with John Cena, and he pretty much kind of answered that all within the promo. My first question was going to say, do we see the last match at WrestleMania 41? He answered it. You know, he announced his last match. So, you know, again, we all saw it. My question for you is, and he announced he was going to do the Rumble, Elimination Chamber at WrestleMania, and who knows, other stuff before then, he'll do the Raw on Netflix. I don't know if he's going to have a match, but he already said he's going to be there. How would you book his farewell tour? Like, what's going to be his Rumble match, or what's going to be his WrestleMania match in about 9 months or so?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I actually was doing some of the news coverage for Wrestling Inc. during the show tonight, and I actually got that assignment. Well, I think Carlito just took a dive off your bookshelf there. So the first thing that I noticed was the towel. The last time is now. My time is now. And then I dug into the shirt, and I really liked the way that he played it out. It was a slow build at first it seemed like he was saying, I'm announcing my retirement right now, but everything he was wearing, everything he was carrying, you know, spoke to the contrary. And then he explained all that. How would I book him? You know, what I put in there was, you know, the things that he said made us all as fans think about some of the dream matches that he could still have of folks that maybe he hasn't faced. What about wrestlers that you would like to see him get in the ring with one more time? Corey Pride mentions Orton. That's why not? Why wouldn't you go back to that? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would like to see John Cena, Cody Rhodes somewhere, somehow. But he name dropped Rumble specifically. Mm-hmm. He name dropped Elimination Chamber specifically. He name dropped Raw on Netflix, the debut, I presume. And then he name dropped WrestleMania 41, obviously. I'm sure that was done for a reason. I don't know that. You know, I think because of that, perhaps that means that we're not going to see him at every event or at every build to every event for the next, you know, little while or anything like that. So I wonder about that. When you talk about how would I book him and I think about the Rumble, at first I thought that means he's in the Rumble, but that wouldn't make any sense, you know, or maybe it would. Maybe there's some wild story where John Cena during his swan song has a great run in the Rumble and teases a win. I don't think it would make sense if you would win the thing or anything like that. But gosh, you have options, don't you? So many things you could throw him out there for. So he looks like he could still go. I'm sure he still can. He's in great shape. And I'm glad this is happening. And I'm glad it's not just an abrupt thing. Folks will get to, you know, perhaps he'll put Sting's retirement toward a shame that we just saw recently.
Yeah, we'll find out. I would have him win the Rumble.
Would you?
Straight up, I would have him win the Rumble and face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania.
There you go. So that's how we get to Cody. There you go. See,
I think
I'm not booking by myself. As long as I get the book with George, we're good.
I mean, because it seems like it's no secret. Rock and Roman is the way to go. That's probably going to be night two, to be honest with you. But yeah, Cody versus John Cena. 1,000%. I would be completely fine with that. I don't care if it's, he needs to go in there with a young guy. Nope, absolutely not. This is John Cena. I'm happy that he's finally, and he's been getting the recognition that he deserves, but I feel like even more so now. I was never a Cena hater. I know a lot of people were. I know a lot of crowds didn't like him, but like everybody always said, like, I'm not gonna do a cop out, like, oh, like, he got a reaction from everybody. That's a bit of a cop out in my opinion. But I always thought he was so great. And the fact that when he came back, not he came back because he was still there, when he did that US Open Challenge in 2015 and he just started wrestling just every week with just new guys and just, you know, whether it's Zack Ryder, Ziggler, Cesaro, you know, just all these cool, you know, guys that aren't in the main event scene and just putting out, sorry, Sheamus, banger after banger after banger after banger on a weekly basis. Like, that's something that I think puts him so much more above a lot of other people. You know, God bless Hogan. I always thought he was one of the best and still is, but he didn't do that when he was, you know, he never did that. He never wrestled some of the young guys, and Billy Kidman doesn't count. You know, but Cena would do that. You know, he and even if he went against some of these guys, like, you know, Austin Theory, Baron Corbin, Damian Sandow, like just all these guys, he wasn't willing to get in there. I mean, with that said, yeah, like I think it needs to be as big as possible. It shouldn't just be against the random guy, like, sorry, Baron Corbin, like they did with Kurt Angle. And it needs to be the biggest matchup. And I think he wins the Rumble for the third time and goes on. And now, whether or not he wins at Mania, I don't think he should win. But I think it'd be a good story to see if he can get number 17.
Yeah, that's I forgot about that too, with the 16, you know, world championships. You got to at least tease that, right? Maybe he doesn't get it, but maybe that's what they work toward. You know, and now that I think about it, I look up and the press conference is still on and I see that Punk is talking right now. There's someone, I don't know if we need to see them wrestle again, but there's someone that I'd love to see him interact with again over a lengthy period of time in some way, shape, or form. But the other thing that you mentioned about the United States Championship Open Challenge that he had, that is almost where I thought they were going tonight, toward the end of that. He said, you know, the crowd's here to cheer. I'm here to say what I have to say. And that includes, you know, anybody in the back, you know, if you want some, come get some for a limited time only type of thing. I thought we were going to have somebody random come out and challenge him to a, because he was dressed to go. It looked like he was dressed to go. So maybe something like that comes back again. Maybe he does some more for the younger folks that are just coming up. Maybe he shows up in NXT again and actually, you know, gets after it in the ring for a little bit. There's a lot that they can do. And like I said, I'm glad that it's going to be a slow swan song right off into the sunset type of thing.
Do you think they'd do the Ric Flair thing? And do you think they put him in the Hall of Fame this year, during the same weekend?
I thought you meant the Ric Flair thing in terms of retiring, but never actually retiring and still trying to wrestle.
Yeah, like 30 and then years comes back into, yeah.
Yeah, no, and dying in the ring and coming back, whatever. Yeah, you know, there's few people that deserve that sort of honor, right? I have a feeling that he wouldn't want that type of distraction. I have a feeling that he might prefer to do that the year later or something like that. But that's just me speculating. I'm a big John Cena guy, even through the lengthy period of time where he was so polarizing to so many people. He's a good person. I've met him around here in the area in which I live a few times. He humbled me once at a gym that I used to go to when I was finishing up what I thought was a particularly strong day for me, my last set of a particular exercise, and he came in, said hello, hit the exact same machine, and started his warm up on what I was finishing with. So I went home with my tail tucked and shook his hand and was on my way. But yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, we'll see how many. Hopefully, he makes a good amount of appearances, and then obviously he might come back afterwards for like an appearance here and there. But yeah, it looks for sure. And considering everything that he said in interviews in the last, you know, year or two, it seems like this is going to be the end. Like, this isn't going to be just, oh, I might come back in a year or two. No, it looks like this match is going to be the very last time we see John Cena in a wrestling match.
I would hope so. I think if you come out there and you so clearly state it like this far ahead of time, you got to kind of stick to that, right? I know it's wrestling. I know we've seen it, you know, I've seen people go back on their retirement promise a million times, but that was my feeling too.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be emotional. I'm a big crier, so I know it's going to be pretty emotional when it does happen. Much like it, you know, it happened for me when Shawn Michaels retired. He was one of my favorites. But yeah, then we saw the World Heavyweight Championship match. Lots of storylines coming in and out of this match. We saw a backstage promo or backstage segment with Judgment Day, pretty much saying, Damian Priest saying, I don't care if Drew even comes out, you guys stay back here. It does look like we're getting a lot of teases with Finn Balor, you know, kind of saying certain things under his breath. But I liked it a lot because there was a lot of just Drew making his promise on Monday, and they acknowledge that during the match a lot, whether it's like, you know, I want to check the entrance ramp. I know he's going to come out here at some point. So I kind of like that they incorporated that. And turns out Drew did come out. He very reminiscent of Mania 31 when he turned in a triple threat match. CM Punk comes out. Punk, Priest ends up retaining, which means Priest is still with the Judgment Day and no more title matches for Seth Rollins. And you have just lots of cool stories, like I said, coming in and out of this match. What was your takeaway from this one?
Just a brilliant piece of business. Mm-hmm. I did get concerned at one point. I wasn't sure if Priest had gotten hurt or something. There was a kick out that maybe it didn't really look like a kick out, but I'm not gonna haggle on that too much. You know, who am I? I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe he didn't. We didn't see it, but great stuff. Starting with the Finn Balor thing, there's work to be done there down the road. And then you've got obviously CM Punk coming in and screwing Drew McIntyre again, so that feud continues. And
Seth Rollins and Punk get into it.
Yeah,
that was great.
By association, you know, I was wondering about the whole Seth Rollins is never going to challenge for the title again as long as Priest is still champion. Really where that came from storyline-wise? Well, this ties that all together. It's so that this takes us back to before Punk got hurt, where we thought he was probably going to go in his first two feuds being back in WWE, right? The two guys that made the most sense were Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre based on all the things that we'd heard. And we're right back there now, all these months later, relatively seamlessly, which is pretty cool. There's so much more still to be done, so many more feuds, so many more combinations. I thought the match itself was really good. I think Rollins looks fine coming out of this, which, you know, he's pretty much untouchable anyway. And again, like I said, just great storytelling, and we go from here. Plus, the last thing I noted and I wanted to say was, you know, Punk grabbed that title and he held it for a little bit and he used it for, you know, the purposes that he was out there to use it for. But he also seemed to kind of dig hold in that thing a little bit. I thought maybe it's not as clear as Randy Orton's been ogling Cody's title of late, but he had it in his hands. He seemed to be happy to hold that for the few seconds that he did. So, you know, maybe he'll be in that title picture too down the road.
Yeah. Something I noticed too, just the way that he looked at the championship, I'm like, this is something I've never held before. This is something that, you know, I've never been close to. I've had all the other championships, but not this one. So I kind of like that scenario. And even when like Seth Rollins kind of got into it with them, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot that they, you know, they hate each other in storyline, or maybe in real life as well. Who knows? Either way, it's great.
They didn't even really have to do that to dial up the animosity from Seth, and we still would have really connected those dots. But in doing so, it kind of reminds you of how much, you know, because Seth's focus was elsewhere here. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, that little moment that we had there, and Punk stands on top of the announce table, almost, you know, that's a position of dominance, right? It reminds you of the legitimate vitriol that was there previously that maybe some people forgot about. I noticed Jonathan Torres. I hear you. And I did allude to this, that there was something wonky about that pin. We'll have to go back and look at that again. I think there was some timing that was wrong. I was a little concerned, like I said, that maybe Priest got hurt there for a second, and that maybe they were kind of rushing things, or maybe there was a timing cue that was missed or something like that with McIntyre's music. Yeah. Not sure. But next thing you know, Priest is back in there, obviously throwing South of Heaven choke slams and everything else. And, you know, he came out on top of the title still. So all's well that ends well, I guess, and I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah, I hope everybody's okay. I did notice, and maybe I'm just looking too much into it, like he just looked a little upset, kind of like, man, like, you know, and again, it could have been his fault, it could have been somebody else's fault, but like as the performer, as like somebody who's actually been in the ring, like I always get that kind of paranoia of like, oh my God, like it's like, I mean, I've never like messed up or anything like that, but I just always like, oh man, did I do good? Did I do well? Like, you know, did I mess it up or things like that? Just, it's just, you know, random anxiety that, you know, I'm sure everybody gets. Actually, it always like, that doesn't make me feel better for the most part, but it's always like, oh, other people go through those same nerves as well. You know, like it's not just me. We all like to think that we're like so secluded and exclusive in terms of like, oh yeah, I get nervous. Like, no, everybody gets nervous when it comes to those things. So
sure. And especially in a situation like that, I'm sure where it's not just one-on-one. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
It's at a big pay-per-view. multiple people involved, multiple storylines involved, a title involved. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be your fault for you to develop anxiety over a situation like that. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. But either way, like, you know, they're all pros. They're, you know, the wheel keeps moving. At the end of the day, I don't think anybody's going to really remember that part of it. So, like, who cares really over a quote unquote botch? I'm more interested in that story. Now we already got Priest and Gunther announced for SummerSlam officially. We got, you know, Punk and McIntyre. That, man, that feud just keeps elevating to new heights practically every single week. And Drew, in my opinion, it just has been such an MVP since kind of turning off this heel turn, in terms of whether it's the bracelet, whether it's those tiny digs that he does, like, you know, like, hey, Jay, I'm surprised you're right across the border, you know? Like, he's just been so good as this heel. And I think it is going to be a matter of time, and it has to be a matter of time before he finally gets this title reign that he can have in front of people.
Yeah, and it's going to mean so much. Yeah. What a trooper. What a pro he is. Yeah. You have to be, you know, you really got to buy. I've always heard, I don't know, you know better than I do. I'm just a guy. But, you know, you got to really buy into being a heel. And for a storyline like this, he's all the way in to be the guy that just keeps getting taken advantage of and taking advantage of and taking advantage of. And he's not a chump by any means. You know what I mean? And he doesn't come across in that way. He's still a monster, you know, a butt kicker. I got to censor myself here, man. I forget sometimes, but it's working so well for him. And the comeuppance at some point, whenever that is, it's going to be great for him.
I do want to ask you one more question, or I guess an additional question. Do you know what time it is?
Like,
it's Tiffy time.
There you go.
Come on. I know. I thought you were good.
You did. You got me, man. I don't know. I'm tired. I almost looked at my phone here.
It's Tiffy time. By the way, I had my son get me a watch just so I can, you know, do the Tiffy time thing. Nice. But Money in the Bank, the women's side. Now we had the semi-main event. No surprise. I thought Chelsea came across such a huge star. You know, no surprise, because she has been doing absolutely amazing in everything that she's been doing. But yeah, I've heard, going back to the Twitter, so many great things about this ladder match. It was a car crash, but in the absolute best way. Every single person shone
right
in so many great ways. Every single person, like Naomi, Lyra, Zoe was great. Just everybody, man. Like this, I cannot say enough great things about this match. Maybe even the best women's Money in the Bank ladder match since its existence in 2018. Or 2017. I can't say enough great things. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think the crowd appreciated it too. Standing ovation, almost unilaterally. I thought the two stars, absolute stars of the match, were Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green. Who, by the way, in our Wrestling Inc. on the editorial side of things, we have a prediction contest between a lot of the editorial staff, and the only two women that were in this match that got a vote as going to be the winners of this were Tiffany and Chelsea. So I didn't get it right. I had Chelsea Green, but we were all right there. And you know, the finish, everybody was great. You're right. You're right, George. Everybody was great. But the finish, where Tiffany, of course, you know, is the shining star coming out of this. But Chelsea might have taken the bump of the year, man, especially playing into that fear of heights gimmick that she was working. And then, you know, going off the top of the ladder, over the ropes, through two tables. Holy cow. Fantastic. Kudos to her. Kudos to everyone. I was a little concerned in the beginning. I thought it was a little bit clunky in the beginning, and I was worried about a couple of spots that didn't look like they hit correctly, particularly involving Zoe Stark. Yeah. But also, even kudos to her as well for being a trooper and working through that, because she got beat up. Fantastic stuff, though, overall. And I, you know, this is in contention for match of the night, if you ask me.
We had loud Miami fans say the women's match made me cringe in fear of injury. Sometimes that can be a good thing, because like that just goes to show like just how much training that people need or people have, just because it sometimes, that's how I feel like about like Bryan Danielson matches, where it's like, oh, that guy's hurt, but it turns out they're just good sellers. But this is probably that case too. Plus, like, those ladders, they're not as like thick as everybody thinks they are, but they still hurt. They're sure. but yeah, I can't say enough great things. I do want to ask about Tiffany Stratton because she's been on the main roster since what, earlier this year, since, you know, around Royal Rumble. She's the Money in the Bank, you know, Tiffany in the Bank. Sounds like I said Tiffany, but it still works either way. Does she successfully cash in? Like, do you think it's still too soon for that, for her to be the world champion for the women's side, or is this going to be the first ever unsuccessful women's Money in the Bank cash in?
I hope not. But also, here's the thing. They're very meticulous about the way they set up the Money in the Bank, stipulation, in that you get a year. So while we would all hope that they have this mapped out, if it doesn't seem like the right time, they can shuffle the deck a little bit and wait, you know, a little bit further down the road. I think if we're talking, and I don't think this needs to be the case either. I do think she's going to hang on to it for a significant amount of time because it really plays into her character. Mm-hmm. It would have played into Chelsea's just as well, but it really, really plays into Tiffany's current character, especially as a heel. So they can take their time and they can pick their spots. I don't think it would benefit her very much to try to cash in and lose. But it all depends on the situation, you know. That could even elevate her as more of the, spoiled little brat type of thing or whatever. But listen, she can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. In a dangerous multiple person ladder match, there are some spots that she went for tonight that I was like, she does it flawlessly, you know. She runs up to the top of the ring post. Everybody's on the outside. She takes the time to do her little Tiffy time deal, and then drops down like, you know, soft as a pillow, which is, you know, it just blows my mind. But I think, you know, there were two options here that were going to be great. I think Tiffany and Chelsea were the two choices. They both come out looking like gold, and everybody did. Yeah. Everybody was fantastic.
Speaking of which, and talking about story, Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton are friends. You know, they're kind of acquaintances, or they have this alliance on SmackDown. Nia Jax is getting the title match at SummerSlam. Maybe she wins. Tiffany being Miss Money in the Bank come in? You know, that there's so much more depth that's involved with this now. Does Nia win? And now you have Tiffany kind of lurking there. Just give her that look. You know, at any point I can just cash this in. And, I like either way, Chelsea or Tiffany, I think either one would have been the right answer. I love Lyra. I think she's got such a great career ahead of her. So I feel like she's going to be somebody that maybe we can watch out for next year. I think Tiffany, yeah, think the world of her. Can't wait to see her development. She's gonna do great, to the point where we saw her in a backstage segment with Trish Stratus. Do you think in some ways this is leading up to something, or is this more of like, do you think like a passing of the torch to Tiffany?
I thought so at first. I mean, Trish was there. My first thought was, you know, she's got some unfinished business with Zoe Stark when she was announced as host of Money in the Bank. Maybe that's come and gone, and that's fine either way. Maybe there's something to be done with Tiffany down the road. Either way, you know, you get the rub just for being in a backstage segment with somebody like Trish Stratus. So, yeah. Good, you know, as good as Tiffany was in that match, that's icing on the cake. And she can go from there. My next question is, next Friday on SmackDown, is the Money in the Bank briefcase all customized and pink and sparkly and everything else like that to fit that character? I think it probably is. And she's going to do great things with it. This is a good testament to how much everybody believes in her already this early in her main roster career.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time for the women's division. And then we have our main event, the big six man. Let me just ask you this first. Were you surprised that this was the main event? And because once you found out this was the main event, were you expecting anybody, any returns at the end of the show?
I wasn't expecting the big one that you're hinting at, because like we said last night, and I think Jimmy and I agreed, and you probably did too, it's still a little too early for somebody by the, you know, that goes by the initials of RR.
Oh, I was thinking Jimmy Uso.
Oh, I thought you were thinking Red Rooster. Yeah. Red Rooster is who was always getting at them. But no, I was surprised that it was the main event because, and I think I wrote about this on Wrestling Inc. actually in one of our opinion columns after a SmackDown or something. Must have been after a Raw, actually, now that I think about it. But when Drew said, I'm going to win the Money in the Bank and I'm going to leave Money in the Bank as champion, I thought he called his shot or made a mistake in, then I had to think about it over again. A pro like that isn't going to make a mistake with the words that he puts out there. So I thought that that the World Heavyweight Championship would have been the main event. However, in these shorter five-match cards with some interludes in between where we get the video packages, where we get, you know, some backstage segments and things like that, they get to take their time and they get to plot these out. And, you know, they always say, you know, that second-to-last match is like, you know, a death spot sometimes. It's not anymore. You couldn't say that about tonight. My goodness, right? Like, so, you know, things keep moving along swimmingly. And honestly, now that I look back, I think this was the right one to end on.
Yeah. When I saw that, it was the main event, I totally thought Roman was coming out at the end. But then, like a friend of mine said, I guess today was Sika's funeral.
Yeah.
So I was like, then he's not coming out then. And I think they even alluded it that Jey Uso was there for Money in the Bank instead of that. So yeah, like I said, shout out to everybody, obviously. Ciko, a legend of the WWE, and you know, Roman Reigns' father. But yeah, so I once I saw, I was like, okay, let me just drop whatever expectation or whatever thing I have in my head. Let me just enjoy the match for what it is, because it was completely chaotic in every single way. Jacob Fatu's, I guess, in-ring debut in the WWE. Were you, what was your opinion on his first time in the WWE ring?
He might be my new favorite, man. He's fantastically violent and aggressive in every way. And
he's just scary looking.
Right? I know. It's, I think I'm running from him if I run into him in the street. You know what I mean? What a showing. And the one thing that stuck out to me with regard to the first time that Jacob Fatu stepped through the ropes in an actual match was that he squared off with an absolute legend in Randy Orton, and how giving Randy Orton was to hit him with that, you know, between the ropes DDT, and he pops up and just looks absolutely evil behind him. And then he goes on from there, but great showing for him. I thought he stood out the most out of everybody, and whether you liked it or not, this match had to go the Bloodline's way. They are being elevated to this evil, vindictive, you know, different group than the previous Bloodline. Makes them look like, you know, we really miss them now at this point, right? You thought you had it bad, now look what you got here. So I think they're doing great work there. And you know, there's a lot of a lot of vengeance for the baby faces to come back and get all three of them here. So lots of great places to go from this. I loved it.
It does seem like they're setting up Cody versus Solo for SummerSlam. Maybe that's when we see the big return, maybe in that kind of stadium feel out in Cleveland. But either way, I do think we're going to see some kind of setup for like Kevin Owens and Jacob Fatu, which I think would be a tremendous match. We saw like Kevin Owens just straight up like eyeing Jacob Fatu on the outside. It's like, man, like this guy, they're going to kill each other.
Their styles match pretty well, right? Like, you know, and Jacob, you know, he fit right in grabbing the Muay Thai clinch and the going with a hockey fight style like Kevin likes to do. So those two together will be wild.
Yeah, we'll probably see it on SmackDown sometime soon. Now that, you know, Jacob's cherry's been popped as far as, you know, getting in the ring, we'll probably see him a lot more. I do think, and I maybe should have said this last night, but now I'm saying it now because I thought of it during the show. DIY, the new, I guess they are the worst. I know it's World and WWE Tag Team Champions, but I want to say they are the WWE Tag Team Champions.
I think you're right.
I do feel like they're getting set up to lose to the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, because I think it's time for the Bloodline to get some gold. And like obviously they're brothers. I don't see Jacob and Tama teaming up. I feel like Jacob just going to be that strong enforcer, and you have Solo going after the WWE Championship. I do feel like DIY, they're going to be losing the championship the tag team titles very, very soon to a former IWGP tag team champion. They kind of alluded that today.
Well, you're talking earlier about, you know, title reigns and the length thereof, short, long, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes the short ones serve a purpose. Yeah. Great moment for DIY, for Gargano and Ciampa. But you know, there's more to be done there with those two, and there are bigger stories being told here, and maybe that's a way to even elevate this new Bloodline even further by, you know, some gold coming in. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there's a mid-card championship that somebody latches onto at some point, like a Jacob Fatu or something like that. And then maybe it's Solo that doesn't have the big one, and he goes into SummerSlam looking to get Cody's, doesn't get it. mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, maybe there's an after match beatdown, and maybe that's where Roman comes back into the picture. We'll see. But good grief. Like the chapters that we think we're getting close to the end of certain stories. And I know that term got overplayed in the last year and a half or so, 2 years, but now the book just gets extended even further, mm-hmm. but it's working. So yeah. How can you complain? You know,
there's always something to talk about and there's always something to look forward to. Whether it's coming out of Money in the Bank, you have even more stuff with the Judgment Day. You have the Liv thing that I think just keeps getting better and better. And I think Liv has been tremendous in her role. I think she's been an unsung hero of Monday Night Raw. And I think she's in the absolute prime of her career. We have Rhea coming back in about a month or two ish. I'm hoping that about months. It's been already like 4 months already, three, four months.
Soon, we hope. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you have Charlotte Flair, I'm sure at some point should be a, I don't want to say close, but she's been gone since what, January or December?
Feels like forever.
Yeah, so she'll be back at some point. Yeah, it just so many things to look forward to. Overall, what was your overall thoughts of Money in the Bank?
I thought it was a lot of fun. Sometimes you don't have to come away from these things thinking it was the greatest show you ever watched. And I think that's where we fall short sometimes. Like I said, great business that was done. Listen, I am years old. I've been watching this for a lot of years. I'm in this for the long haul, so I'm okay with this long term stuff. Very few things that have happened in WWE over the last few years have really made me go, I don't think they know what they're doing. They got me, and so and things seem to be progressing in that direction. There's a new aura of surprise that I don't think was there previously, where things were, you know, maybe a little bit more predictable. And I think that's because it's not like, you know, you don't feel like somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes every single show, but it might be coming around the corner and you never know it. So I thought tonight was a lot of fun. Kudos to all the performers. I thought all five matches were enjoyable. Only the one big surprise for me in terms of Sami Zayn retaining, but I also had no problem with that. Because it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And, you know, we'll look at this press conference. We'll see what they say, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, either can't agree more. Every pay-per-view has been pretty much a home run in my eyes. Like, there hasn't been a single pay-per-view in a while, to be honest with you, where it ended. I'm like, oh, man, what a crappy pay-per-view that was.
Hey, George, you got to say PLE, I was going to say, because Swerve will get pissed off, and you know, we don't want to deal with that.
I guess it's not a pay-per-view because I'm not paying pay per month, I guess you can say.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to go back and watch this again. I don't think they're going to charge me for it. So that's good.
But yeah, like I said, they've been knocking out of the park in my eyes. And I mean, kudos to every wrestling company. Like I feel like they finally nailed just how to put together a good pay-per-view, whether it's, you know, hey, let's put it together. I mean, I'm okay with the other show doing like 13 matches because, you know, like who cares? Like it's wrestling. Like, you know, it's all good. It's all great. It's not like every match is a cage match, you know.
It's fun. They don't even do that anymore. Fun. It's supposed to be fun, you know. We forget about that sometimes. And did I have fun tonight? Yes, I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Going back to how I started the show, trivia. Time for the trivia answer. I already saw some people get it right in the chat, but you know, now I'm here to announce it. So which show/shows has it been successfully the Money in the Bank briefcase cashed in the most? Do you have
can I make two guesses, and if I only get one of them right, do I get like half a five?
1000%. You can get one of these.
I don't know what that is, but it'll work. So be careful with the fingers there. I'm gonna go with Raw, and I'm gonna go with SummerSlam.
Ooh. Anyone in the chat? I know SummerSlam, you had 2001 Del Rio cashing on CM Punk. And then this past one, you had Io Sky cashing on Bianca. But you're half right. So is Alicia A. Alicia A is half right with Raw. I'm surprised that you didn't get it because the other answer is Monday Night Raw and Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's very okay.
Yeah, so Money in the Bank. Yeah, the very same night. I think I want to say it was Ambrose, Kane, Nikki Cross, Bailey,
and there's
one more that I can't. Yeah, Liv Morgan. So they each have five. Each Raw has five, and Money in the Bank has five as far as successful cash in. Now, you want to talk unsuccessful? I think Raw's got that because we've seen like Damian Sandow unsuccessfully, John Cena. John Cena won in 2012. I do have one more question before we wrap up because I tweeted it and I don't know if anybody replied, but Shawn Michaels is known as Mr. WrestleMania, right? Like we all agree. I think Bret Hart, maybe like Mr. SummerSlam. You know, I'd say SummerSlam. Is John Cena Mr. Money in the Bank? Because you look back, you know, and again, it's not about wins or losses because Shawn Michaels lost a lot of his WrestleMania matches, but you look back, 2011, match of the freaking decade with CM Punk. 2012, he won Money in the Bank. 2014, he won the ladder match for the vacant one. 2015 had a banger with Kevin Owens. And then even going back to like the pandemic, when the first pay-per-view back from COVID or the in a live crowd was Money in the Bank. At the end of the show, John Cena comes out. Last year, John Cena comes out in that London crowd, you know, gets everybody's hopes up in London for WrestleMania there. And then you haven't come back here. Is there anybody else you think would be a good Mr. Money in the Bank pay-per-view, I guess you can say?
No, how am I gonna dump all over my Tampa, Florida area neighbor John Cena on a night like tonight when you know there's some celebrating to be done. Celebrating, I enunciated that oddly, in terms of his career as we get ready for his final run here. I think that works. Yeah, let's give it to him. Let's give him Mr. Money in the Bank. I think he's carried that title unofficially previously. So that totally works for me.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anyone else, you guys feel free to let me know, but I'm going to go with John Cena all the way.
Hey, listen, Tiffany Stratton has every chance in the universe to become Miss Money in the Bank forevermore, depending on where she goes from here. So
yeah,
good for her as well.
And if people want to give us more thoughts, you know, you can always comment down below. You can always tweet us at John Jordan or G Hermosa. But what else are you doing these days, John Jordan? I know you do a lot of writing for Wrestling Inc., but what you got going on?
I do. Please continue to patronize us at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news. George let us know last night. We very much appreciate it. We're glad he didn't say anything else, but that it's been his favorite for a long time. That meant a lot. It put me on the spot too with that one headline. We talked about that a little bit today, but I think it was a great answer and we got some good comments for it. No, I'm here tomorrow night. Honored to be here three times in a row on the podcast last night, tonight, and tomorrow night for NXT Heatwave. And guys, I love being your podcasting pinch hitter extraordinaire. I'm not here to take anybody's spot, but if you like what I got to say here, you know, let people know. Give me a shout out. Do whatever you got to do. I don't want to take anybody's spot, but I'd love to bump some of these two person shows to three if they'll have me. And I think our overlords at Wrestling Inc. will listen. I also think that hey, keeping the shtick going. Here's my unofficial MVP of the night. Corey Pride said it in the chat earlier. He loves this run by Punk, and he's only wrestled once. There's a lot to be said for that. He's getting a lot done with not being able to do a whole lot. So interested to see where that's going. I can't wait to be back tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that NXT Heatwave card too. Why not?
Yeah.
And George, I always love hanging out with you. So
yeah, before I talk about Heatwave for like a quick 10 seconds, every now and then I'm wrong. When I was mentioning the Money in the Bank cash-ins on the same night, I said Nikki Cross, but she cashed it in on Raw. It was Alexa Bliss that cashed in on Money in the Bank. So thank you for correcting me, Megan Harden. But yes, we will be here tomorrow night. NXT Heatwave, that's going to be another fun night from the same city, Toronto. So it's not going to be at the Battleground, Apex, whatever it was called. It's not going to be at the PC. It's going to be in another 10,000-15,000 seat arena, which is going to be a fun show. Let's see if Toronto can bring it for another night. Either way, we will be here on Wrestling Inc. talking all about NXT Heatwave. Maybe I'll throw in another trivia question, as I like to do. And
I like it.
I'll do a good one. But for now, you can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA, and we'll see you in about 24 hours.
Bye, y'all.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.